The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to the Mission Minded. Keep your mind and your mission and your mind. Keep that face right there on your screen, your YouTube channel, Tony Curry Live on the YouTube channel. So you can actually, you can listen to the show at least 5 days a week on Tony Curry Radio, right? You can go get it. It goes right up to podcast as soon as we air it live on Tony Curry Radio. And now you can actually watch it on our YouTube channel. So you can actually watch the show live. Go to your phone and go to your YouTube thing and put on your notification thing for Tony Curry Radio. And then whenever we do a show live, which is about 18 times a week, it'll pop right up on your phone. You can actually see what we're doing live. And yeah, we screw up. This is a podcast. We do our thing. And it's great. He is Michael Coleman, CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. What is up, my friend? How are you?
Nothing, getting ready through the holiday season and helping families, but also, you know, personally looking within to see what shopping I have left to do, which is always the case.
It is. I don't know, and everyone's saying this, but I'll bring it up again just because I think it's worth bringing up. I just can't believe how fast time is going right now. It used to be if you got your tree the day after Thanksgiving, you were early. People are like, you got your tree already? Now everyone's got their stuff. I mean, my good friend Jerry Baker from Old Baker Farms, he doesn't open till the day after Thanksgiving. I said, dude, you need to start opening up in the beginning of November. I'm just telling you, because people are wanting to get their trees now right after Halloween. So that's good. Several people have talked, and then we'll get into our topic, and I wanted to throw this out. Several people have brought up to me that they think it's pathetic. Christmas, we know what the reason for the season is. We get all that. I do think it's a wonderful time of year. We love giving gifts. If you read the Bible, you know how important gifts are. Of course, God gave us the ultimate gift, and that is his son on a cross. And so Christmas is all about giving gifts. So that's important. But a lot of people, I've had it for both sides. Some people love it because they think if we can celebrate Christmas in June, it's better than not celebrating Christmas at all, because we're celebrating God as our witness and we're celebrating something very, very good. I get that. Other people think it's kind of strange that we have to wait till something like Christmas to actually start celebrating and feeling good about our lives. And it's funny because I think we all have that person in our life. It was my next door neighbor across the street. His name was Ed Bealey. I'll never forget. Ed Bealey was 4'10". His wife Agnes was 4'9". They had small children. And he had little man syndrome, was a great neighbor, would do anything for you, would come over and shovel our driveway. He was the one that had the tractor and the streamliner. He had all the hunting stuff. And around the holidays, man, he just turned into a different guy. He just was a different guy. Come December 1st, he was a sweetheart of a guy, and he was kind of cranky the rest of the year. He was kind of like, sometimes he wouldn't even wave at you, but boy, he would come he would just be yo-ho-ho, walking around with the red hat on and everything else, and he just was in a great mood around the holidays. Talk a little bit about that and how to take this reason for the season and spread it out through the other 11 months that we have in a year.
Well, boy, that's a wide-open topic, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'll just say personally how some of the things that I've struggled with over the years in Christmas is how we inflate this time. So there's a couple of different things going on. One is people go, well, there's this whole theological argument. Was he born on December 25th?
Yeah.
Or was he born on, in the spring when they were out in the field? There's just all this what people perceive as evidence that, December 25th is not the right day.
Yeah.
My own personal view on that is it really doesn't matter. We weren't given the day in Scripture, but we were certainly given a time when the heavens opened and the angels appeared and they were rejoicing because that day had come that had been prophesied about for in essence, thousands of years. And so I think we chose the date, and I think that the date is ultimately irrelevant. We could choose any day to celebrate. There's lots of advantages to it because you can, it's a time where the world recognizes it, and especially for non-believers. And so lots of times it gives you an opportunity to discuss spiritual things. It creates more natural openings for people to like, oh yeah, we're having a church thing or a Christmas tree light, whatever it is, and give people an opportunity to invite their neighbors. So lots and lots and lots of positive things come out of it this time of the year. I absolutely despise the commercial aspect of it. And I think it's created over the years. You see it more and more. As a matter of fact, to illustrate, I heard a comedian say that his nephew came to him. He was on a hoverboard and he had an iPad out and he said, "Uncle, I'm bored." And he goes, "You're bored?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It looks like you're from the future. How in the world could you be bored?" And we were growing up, I just didn't have a lot, and I was thrilled to death to be able to get just a couple of really cool things. And now it's just who we are. We're so into the latest gadgets. We feel like it used to be okay, but I would get my kid a cell phone. That was a big deal. Now cell phones are ubiquitous.
Yep.
Just on and on and on. So I do think it cheapens what we've celebrated this time. But now I don't begrudge anybody making a living, and I get it. It's the same way in the nonprofit world. We reach out during this time of year because people are looking at year-end tax benefits, and we try to take advantage of this time to raise money for what we're doing. But I do struggle with how easy it is to cheapen such a significant gift. So the question you asked was, well, how do you spread that out? Well, one of the things I would try to do is to challenge any of our listeners. Going back to the example you gave of your neighbor, well, I tell you, not just in any time of year, but if I have to be a different person based on the circumstances, and I'm not talking about, hey, when I'm in a more formal environment, I may watch how I speak. That's a concept called code switching. Like, hey, you can talk slang and you can cut up and you don't have to worry about verbal and subject and verb agreement when you're sitting around watching a football game. But if you're on a job interview, you're speaking, whatever, you want to make sure that you speak well. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about if you inherently have to change your personality, like you said, this guy did, oh, it's Christmas time. I want to be nice or whatever. But you're not any other time, boy, you have to wonder what could you possibly impact, could you possibly hope to have where 11 months out of the year, you're not that good neighbor, you're not the kind person, you're not the giving spirit. And so I'm not much on New Year's resolutions. I think I like the idea that people want to change and want to improve on themselves. But one of the things I think is trying to be more consistent about being authentic and, not just think about being a giver around this time of the year, but think about how you can be a good neighbor. Think about how you can serve others and lift others up, at every opportunity that you have. To me, that's when you talk about Christ being the greatest gift given to mankind. And of course, even then, and throughout the Even the apostles following Jesus around, they still didn't get what it was all about, that this was a gift to redeem the entire world from the brokenness and the slavery to sin, all those kind of things. And he's done that, and he's really asking us to impact the world. And I think if we're shutting people down because we are not representing who Christ is, in other words, if we're mean, if we're nasty, if we're impatient, if we're unloving, if we're envious and boastful, all the things that the Galatians talks about are the opposite, the fruits of our sinful nature, then we can't hope to pop it in one month out of the year and hope to have the same impact.
And we've gotten that question before. How can you be Christian and celebrate Christmas? It's the pagan holiday and stuff. And if you want to go back from a historical standpoint, obviously the Romans, when Christianity took over the Romans. That's when we used to not celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrated the resurrection and the raising of Jesus, and that was always big. But we really never celebrated his birthday until Christian took over the Romans, and then they all of a sudden set a date. But it's interesting. Because I know this is a tough time for some people too. Some people just don't know how to deal with it. And I think we just have so many things we want to get done. The fact that it's towards the end of the year does not help, because I know that a lot of people want to kind of close things up before they start. They want to start fresh and new. And it's like starting to clean out your garage. You know, you start one box at a time. Try not to get it all done in one day. Just grab a box and start opening up and start getting after it. And that goes for Christmas lights and shopping and everything else. And in this time where things are going by so quickly, we're sitting here on the 5th of December. And normally I would say, wow, if I got my shopping done by the 5th of December, I'd be golden. Well, I feel like I'm already behind. I already feel like, oh my gosh, I haven't gotten out and started shopping yet. And it's because I've had Cyber Monday in my face and Forgiving Tuesday in my face, and I had Black Friday in my face and stuff. So anyway, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I tell you, I heard an interesting concept that kind of blends into this a little bit. And that is, since we're on a spiritual vein here, a lot of people, when you talk about people going through tough times, and when you think about it, this is a time of year where we have a lot of good memories. Sometimes people have bad memories, especially when family or friends, they look up, hey, this may be the first year where you're without your dad or your mother. You may have had some tragedy with a child. You may look back on these memories and it really, you're in a down place right now. And so lots of times we talk about what God does through situations in life, and God is refining us. And the reason God refines us, if you think about it, if we were never put under pressure and we were just free to do what we wanted with no boundaries, that would not be good. Just like it's not good when you raise your children to do that. Mm-hmm. God brings us into his family as we are his children, and he wants to refine us, not to restrict us, not to punish us, not to be harsh on us, but because the more we see the world through his eyes, the more fulfilling life, the more blessed life that we will have. And so part of that is a pressure that's placed upon us that the Bible refers to as a refining, like you refine fine metals. You want to get
the heart of the fire, the heart of the steel. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I remember the picture that I always get with that is probably not what a lot of people are going to get. When I was growing up, my dad used to make his own bullets, and he had these, he called wad cutters, and he'd have the brass, but the bullet itself was just made out of lead. Mm-hmm. And he would go to the old gas stations who would balance tires and had all these tire weights.
Yeah.
And he would come and he'd melt them down. Well, they were full of dirt and grease and everything else. And so he would drop wax in, a flame would come up, and all of that, all those impurities would rise to the top. Mm-hmm. And he'd scrape them off and he'd do some more. And then he could mold the pure lead for the bullets. So I kind of see that firsthand, but that's not even my point. My point is that what I really realized this week was God is just not refining somebody who's going through hard times. He's refining all of us all the time. And sometimes the person who's being refined or who's going through the toughest time, let's just say it could be a spouse, it could be a child, it could be just a close friend who's really going through a hard time. And you're like, yeah, God's really putting them through something. But God is also putting you through something simultaneously, and you may not even recognize it, which is he's also refining us to be the right friend, to be the right spouse, to be the right love, to be the right support, the emotional support. So it's not just what that person is going through and the other people on the other side of that, but it's the people on this side, the friends and all that. So when we look around, and I have, of course, several friends at my age going through cancer treatments, or spouses are going through cancer treatments, or they're struggling with jobs, all that kind of stuff. God's refining me through that to say, yeah, what kind of friend are you going to be? Are you going to lift them up in prayer? Are you going to reach out to them with an encouraging text? So instead of saying, okay, I want to be Christmas year round, if we just look back and understand this great role that we have, it's not about how righteous we can live our life. It's about how impactful we can be in the name of Jesus to lift up others and to fulfill the role that God's called us all to
I
be.
had a son that was in a basketball league. This is when he was like 8 or 9 years old, and he tried the best he could. He was a little uncoordinated, and one day the coach just got in his face and made him cry and the whole nine yards, and he wanted to quit. And I said, "Listen," I said, "the reason the coach got in your face is because he sees potential in you." I said, "If I said, do you see that other kid sits at the end of the bench and never plays? He ain't gonna say a word to him because he's never gonna see playing time. He sees potential in you. He sees that you have something that we need on this team, and so he wants to get in. Now, he may have not done it the right way. Maybe you need some positive reinforcement. You don't want to get yelled at in front of the other kids, particularly at an 8-year-old. But I said, when your boss is not going, we had shows about this. When your boss is not riding you a little bit, you should worry a little bit. If you don't see your boss, you're not doing anything, you're not showing up to work, and your boss doesn't really care, chances are you ain't gonna have a job very long. So, God doesn't look for the uplifters. He looks for the people that he can actually lift up. And that kind of goes into what I wanted to get into today. And that is, and you just said the word authentic. I think that word is so important, and I think that goes for the holidays. I think it goes for our life. I think it goes for everything. We know that when and I always pray, God help me through these tough times, so victory over them may bear witness. The people I may help through your love, through your patience, through your trust, your grace. But also, I want to thank him for all the blessings, not the blessings that I love, not the blessings of getting a check in the mailbox, the blessings of having someone wave high, but even the ones that I don't understand, because everything he does is a perfect, his plan is perfect. His plan is perfect. There's nothing that's coincidental. Everything he does is perfect, and it's all planned out, and everything is a blessing. And so help me understand what those blessings are, because I know when God chastises the ones he loves, I know that if he's coming after me and times are tough, he's got a job for me to do. There's something for me to learn. There's something for me to battle through, and there's something for me to win. And whether that's for another person or for myself or for my family or for my workers, whatever it is, then I should take that on. And the other thing is God works through us and wants us to endure the suffering that his son endured, so we can live more cohesively with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I think it's interesting. There's so many people, you and I think are pretty authentic. We don't talk any differently than we really do on this show. I know there's locker room Tony. I know there's church Tony. I know there's workplace Tony. And there's a lot of people that play differently based on not only where they are, but who they're around. And I see that all the time. I was at a church thing last night, a Bible study thing, and we weren't two steps out the door, and a guy was one of my buddies was telling me an off-color joke, and I'm like, dude, can we just get a little away from the church just a little further before you start throwing out this stuff? And stuff that I would have thought was funny in my 20s isn't as funny as it used to be. But just talk about how important it is for us to be authentic, not only to ourselves, but certainly to the people around us, and how important it is. Because I think when you do find Jesus and you're trying to have a better and closer relationship with him, it is harder. It you do have to change things. And sometimes you do have to cut off conversations, and sometimes you don't have to give that obligatory laugh at something you actually don't think is funny. It's okay to say something.
So a lot of people, I think we've not done a very good job in 21st century Christianity. Or even calling it westernized Christianity, because I think we culturally look at the Bible much differently than they did in the first century. I think one of the things we tend to do is, because we're very independent minds, say, okay, Lord, I get it. I'm a Christian. You've saved me from my sins. I've confessed my belief. I've been baptized. I've committed myself to you. And so now you want me to be a really good person. And so to be a really good person, I define it as I've got to avoid these things and do these things. And really, what we do is we're shifting the responsibilities of the relationship on our own shoulders, which is so flawed because when you look at in Romans 12, he talks about Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he talks about our hearts and minds being renewed by God. So we don't follow God. Bear with me while I walk through this.
Yeah.
So we tend to learn things, especially middle class Americans. We're like, give me the information. I'm going to assimilate that into my life and I'm going to make the changes. And we kind of do that sometimes when we read scripture. Okay, I'm just looking for what are the rules? And then I think I follow the rules. But Paul, when he wrote in the book of Ephesians, he talked about this great chasm that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. And it wasn't about a following the law. The Jews had that advantage, the Gentiles didn't. It was about coming to God and being made new in his image. And God does the changing. Now, so we are no closer to God when we just go, okay, just give me all the rules. Because that show, and I'll do my part. You've done your part, God, I'll do my part. And God, that's not how the Bible's, that's not what God says. Paul talks about that we are robbed of being able to say that any of this is about us. Because he said, I can boast in nothing. I can boast in no one other than the sacrifice that was given to me. So when the Holy Spirit is placed within us and we become the temple of God, the spiritual dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, it is God, according to Romans and other places, that changes our hearts and minds into his image. So imagine if you're on a spectrum, and on one end is perfection, viewing everything perfectly through the eyes of Jesus. Well, we're usually starting on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, we are.
All right. So what happens is through a very supernatural process that, yes, involves reading scripture, it involves praying, it involves all the Christian disciplines. Those are all very, very important. But God also is changing divinely our hearts and minds. And what's happening is he's moving us down the spectrum to where our will becomes more aligned with his. That whole idea, we pray, God, not, and when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, not your will, I mean, not my will, but your will be done. And we pray that. That is the journey of faith from beginning to end. We will never get to the point of perfection as long as we're in the flesh. That's what the life to come is about being made complete and perfect. So, but it is a transformative process, but it's not about us just determining what the rules are and trying harder. It is about surrendering control of our heart and mind and saying, God, make me in your image, and then trusting that that's a daily walking
Well,
in his
and you just said it, and I was waiting for you to get there because I know it takes a while because it does take a while to find your Lord and Savior and live that life and live His will. We're not living our lives, and by the way, hey Jesus, you want to come into my life? And by the way, here's what I need today, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm living my life for Him. It's His life I'm living, not my own. And so,
Right.
in order to do that, you have to the surrender part is the hardest part, and I think we have, you know, a lot of people are looking for the epiphany, or if you've been born again, or you've been rebaptized. Yes, it's a special moment, and you should feel something. Don't get me wrong,
Yeah.
but your life doesn't switch on a dime in that particular day. So you still have a lot of impurities, just like you said, in the lead. You still have things that you need to get out of your system, and that takes a period of
Yeah.
time. Now, the willingness to go there certainly is a huge step, and the willingness to surrender and give it all up to Him is that first step that's so important. You know, the one
Well,
thing that
and
I,
I'll tell you, I would just throw this in there and then you could
yeah.
continue on with your point, is that God is not going to change your heart and mind against your will. If you are resistant, Paul talks about this in the book of Thessalonians when he says, "Do not quench the spirit." So if the spirit of God is creating a new heart, is creating a new mind, and God is leading us in a path that maybe we don't want to go in, we can become resistant to that, and in essence saying, "Yes, I feel you're leading," or "Yes, I know you're leading me," or "God, you're pulling me in that direction, but I'm gonna dump on the flame of the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna dump cold water on it." You can quench that spirit or squelch that spirit and totally and follow your own path. It is the willingness to say, "God, you lead me," and then when He does, you surrender to that calling and follow in that
Yeah, and
pathway.
again, there's certain levels of surrendering. The unfortunate thing is sometimes we surrender, things go well, and then we start taking things back. And those are some bad things in our life. And depending on how deep we are in some of those habitual things, it makes it more difficult. The fact that you talk about living His will and surrendering, obedience is such an important part of that. It's a word you don't really hear a whole lot anymore. You don't hear the word obedience anymore. Everything's done my way. Look at me. Look at me. I'm going to do it my way. Do you remember when you used to go to school? If the principal sent you home from the school, you weren't worried about the principal. You were about your old man taking the belt off because you knew that if the principal sent you home, you were. Now the principal sends you home. Well, the teachers, you want to have a sit down with the principal. What's wrong with my son? Why did you send my son home? Blah 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 blah. You know, how dare you treat my son like this? All right, you know, we can go back to the paddling days. You remember the paddling days? I had one.
Oh
It was all it
yeah.
took. Thank goodness my dad took his belt off for my next brother. He screwed up big time. Thank goodness, because my screw ups didn't look bad at all compared to what he used to do, and he couldn't get away with anything. And so my dad wore his tied out with the switches off the back trees and with his belt. And so I think he was too tired to take it to me. Thank goodness.
Well, speaking, I have a talk about getting paddled at school. It happened to me my entire life, and that's because I wouldn't learn. I was interested in having a good time, and just and I remember the last day of school before Christmas break. So it was about the middle of December, and I jumped on my buddy's back, and we ran down the hallway. We were just banging on all the classroom doors and the windows, and I got called into Jimmy Lawrence, who played at the University of Alabama, and he had forearms the size of my thighs, and he's like, "All right, you can take 3 days suspension, or you can take three licks." And he had a baseball bat. That was the handle was cut off, and so he could grip it with his hand like a baseball bat. And then the end was sawed in half, had holes drilled in it.
Sure, to get the
And
air
I
dynamics
said,
out.
and I wasn't about to go home and tell my dad I got what I'd done and to get 3 days suspension. So I was like, "Well, I'll take three licks." And I still remember him lifting me up off the floor. Every time he hit me, I mean, it was sure enough painful. Now, was it painful for me to change? No. But that was another issue at the time.
Yeah, well,
So.
in our own special way, God takes us and lifts us off the floor sometimes. And sometimes we have to lean over His lap, and sometimes He gives us to a good. I'll never forget my son, Santo, who is now 21, going to Xavier. He was 4 or 5 years old. We were at church, and I don't know why kids seem to be undisciplined at church. For some reason, that seems to be the place they want to test us the most. And that's where I'm like, you know, if you can't be good here, then we got some issues. But I remember saying, "Listen, you knock it off or I'm going to spank you." And I had never spanked him before. He was 4 years old. And so I took him outside and I gave him one. And you know, again, it's more the disappointing the father. It's not the pain. It's not the pain. It should never be about the pain. It's about the disappointing my father. And so we were good. And I said, "Are we good now?" So we start walking back in. And he says, "Dad," I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "I need to go back outside. I don't think I'm done yet. I think I need to be, I think I need another one." And I said, "What?" And he goes, "I think I need another spanking." And I said, And he was dead serious. I said, okay. And I went back out and I was like, wow. And that's the last time that I ever had to spank any of my children. I had to do it with my daughter. I did it one time with my special needs son. And I wish I had not done that, but I was at my wit's end to have a special needs son who was going through psychosis. I had no clue. And that blew up my face, but yeah, there's different ways of doing that.
I disciplined like that. That's the way I was disciplined. I disciplined the same way. Mm-hmm. The thing that I've talked to both my girls about it, I discipline in my immaturity. I discipline out of anger and frustration.
Sure.
I was inconsistent. There were times where I may have swatted them when there was something else that was more appropriate.
Sure. Yeah.
But here's the thing about the Lord's discipline, and talks about it. The writer of Hebrews talks about it. You know, the Lord's discipline is just like a father's discipline. It's not something, it's something that's necessary. And he disciplines us because he loves us. I don't think that he wants to see us hurt and suffer. Nobody enjoys seeing their child hurt and suffer. But the short-term pain of discipline, and in our case, it may be consequences mm-hmm. of bad choices, or there may be other types of, all sorts of different types of ways God disciplines us. But it's all emanates out of his perfect love. He doesn't lose his temper and discipline us incorrectly like we as fallen fathers do. Mm-hmm. His discipline is purposeful. It's rooted 100% in love, and it's always at the right time and the right measurement. And it can give us, even when we're going through times of discipline, it lets us know that we serve a perfect father.
And again,
something to find joy about.
Yeah, and again, I just want to end it on this note with that word obedience. It reminds me of the Karate Kid. You know, he could not understand. He just thought that he was painting the fence because the fence needed painting, or he was waxing the car because, and he's like, no, you don't get it. Just do what I'm telling you to do. And it was all about being obedient and doing what he was asked to do. And it's not for you. It's not for us to question God and why he's putting us through what he's putting through. Just trust me on this and understand that this may be an obedience type of thing, and you'll work through it. That's Mission Minded. Michael Coleman, CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry. We do want to mention to something you may have noticed. We've slanted a little bit towards the Bible and our Lord and Savior. We'll always do that on our shows because we know where we're both coming from. But we are going to be doing a brand new show on station 101.1 The Truth. That's coming out of Birmingham. It covers pretty much the entire state. It's 100,000 watt blowtorch. And so we're looking forward to getting that show. And as we get a little closer, we'll give you some more details on that. We're always looking for different show ideas as well. We'll have a website and podcasting, the whole nine yards. We'll have all that stuff. It'll be part of Tony Curry Radio as well. So we're looking forward to do that. It'll kick it off sometime in 2026. So we need to be obedient and be chastised. And look forward to seeing what God has in store for us, because I think it's going to be something pretty special. So thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
You as well.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.